We're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, if you'll stand with me, we'll read God's Word. Starting with verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be saved.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of thy precious word. And Lord, tonight as we stand here, we stand in trembling and fear. And yet, Lord, we're glad that we can stand and represent our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd have never thought years ago, dear God, that you'd use somebody like me to be a spokesman for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But dear God, tonight I'm thankful that we can stand and tell folks about a Savior, such a wonderful Savior, Jesus our Lord. Lord, help us tonight to receive something from the Word of God. We'll praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. He's worthy. Amen. We'll let you be seated there. And I want to read a couple of verses again, and we'll be using those verses tonight with the help of God. Verse number 6, it said, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now I realize that there's not much that I can preach out of Genesis chapter 22 that you haven't already heard. But I'll tell you, every time that I turn to this great chapter, I find something that refreshes my soul. I didn't realize. I got to studying this here a few weeks ago, and I didn't realize that the first time the word love is used in your Bible is in this chapter. Behold, took Isaac thy son whom thou lovest. This is the great crucifixion chapter, I believe. I believe this chapter is a typology of our Lord Jesus Christ. First time the word love is ever used. It's used in connection with the death of somebody that represents the Son of God. I got to study a little farther, and the second time it was used is when he saw his bride. Up yonder being offered, behold the Son whom thou lovest. And then over there in chapter number 22, the second time that it's used is, Isaac came unto his bride, Rebekah, and he said he loved her. And I thought, both of them go together, don't they? The Son of God dying, showing his love. The Son of God taking us to be his bride, again reflecting his love. But tonight, I want to turn this chapter around, and I want to use it just a little bit different than I've ever preached it before. You'll notice in our text tonight that they're going up to Mount Moriah. And this little boy by the name of Isaac said to his father, Father, as we go up to this mountain, I've noticed you've taken everything that you need. You've got the wood, you've got the fire, you've got the knife, you've got all the necessities to offer an offering, but where is your lamb? And Isaac, that wise man, said to his son, don't worry about the lamb, son. God himself will provide a lamb. And as they went on up there, you know the story of how that Isaac was placed on that altar. His hands were bound. He was placed there before God. And Abraham drew back the knife to kill his only son. And the angel of God came, got a hold of his arm, and withheld him from killing his son. Because in the eyes of God, he already accomplished the act. And God saw his obedience as an act and a test of his faith, which he was well pleased with. And you know, I thought they had everything that they needed but a lamb. I got to looking at this. Abraham had the wood, he had the fire, he had the knife, he had the altar, and eventually he had the lamb. But you know, there's something missing tonight. I'm going to preach on, did anyone bring the fire? We also have everything that we need. I got to thinking tonight. I talk about a lamb. I've got a lamb tonight. I tell you, John the Baptist looked out and he saw Jesus coming. And old John said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want to tell you tonight, there's not a soul in here that has not been provided a lamb by God the Father. You don't have an excuse to die and go to hell tonight. Because I'll tell you, God so loved the world that he gave
believe his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad tonight, thank God, I have a lamb. I also have an altar. If you look over in Hebrews chapter number 13, just a moment with me, we'll have to read a few scriptures and then we'll preach upon our message tonight. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, look at what it says here in verse number 10. He said, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus, I tell you tonight, I have an altar. It's called Mount Calvary tonight. I tell you, it's called the old rugged cross. I've got a lamb. I've got an altar. I thank God I've got something else. I've got a knife. I've got this book right here. The book of Hebrews. If you look there just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 4. I like this verse. You folks will have an old King James Bible. This verse will mean something to you. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I tell you, I've got a knife tonight. I've got a knife, got two edges on it. A little cut coming and you'll cut going. A little cut up and you'll cut down. Just thank God. Every person here has a lamb. Every person here saved tonight has an altar. Every person here tonight that is saved has a knife. And I tell you what, we got plenty of wood. Wood are those materials used to start a fire. And I'll tell you, every child of God here tonight has plenty of wood. God has not left us without some wood. I'll tell you, the reason our churches are not doing anymore is not because we don't have an altar, and we don't have a lamb, and we don't have a knife, and we don't have the wood. The reason we're not doing anymore for God is we have no fire. We just don't have any fire. I tell you, Abraham had everything they needed. But I'll tell you tonight, we've got everything we need but the right things. Most of us have got it better than we've ever had it before. But we don't have the right things. Isn't it a shame tonight that our churches are doing no more for God? So it's like somebody would remember to bring the fire. We got everything. We got song books running out of our ears. We got the wood, don't we? We got the organs. We got material things. We got everything we need to do something for God. Yes. But we're missing an important element. Yes. Nobody's burning the fire no more. I realize that y'all have heard of sermons upon fire, and I'll not be able to preach nothing new upon that tonight. Brother Benny, I think, has a sermon that he preaches on a fire inside of us. Some of you preached upon that, and so I'll not be able to preach anything new to you tonight. But I want to bring two or three thoughts upon this fire of God. You see, Abraham had the fire. Abraham had the knife. Abraham had the altar. Abraham had the wood. All he needed was a sacrifice. We've got all of that. Amen. We're not looking for another Jesus. We've got enough. There's only one of them. What we need is somebody to bring the fire. Amen. We don't need another altar. We have one. We don't need another lamb. We've got one. We don't need another knife. We have the only one. Amen. I'll tell you, somehow or another, we think that the knife has lost its sharpness. But I want to tell you, it's still as sharp as it was when the Apostle Paul preached the word of God. What we need is some fire to put underneath the wood to fuel us as we try to serve God. Did anybody bring the fire? Amen. You know, one of these brothers preach, we can have revivals and we get the best speaker in the world, but if you don't come with some fire.
Right. That's right.
Amen. You can get the best singers there are, But if they don't have some fire inside of them.
Yes.
I had a singing group here not long ago, that somebody asked me what was my favorite singing group out yonder that we hear all the time, and I told them. And they said, "Well," said, I can't understand why you like them better than you do anybody else." And I said, "Well, there's some people enjoy singing about Jesus." But I said, "There are other folks that enjoy the Jesus they're singing about." I'd rather have somebody enjoy the Jesus they're singing about. Oh, listen tonight. Our singing needs fire underneath it. Our preaching needs fire underneath it. Our praying needs fire underneath it. Witnessing needs fire underneath it. I tell you, the study of God's Word needs fire underneath of it. Or we'll never amount to anything for God tonight. Did anybody bring the fire? Lord, let me say something. There's something that struck me on this fire. I want you to first of all look that it was carefully maintained.
Yeah.
Did you see that? How did he get fire 3 days' journey up yonder to where it was going? You know, I was glad I was brought up poor in some of these old 9-room houses where ceilings 12 foot tall, where you had fireplaces in every room, and where you had to run real quick to get warm and head to bed real fast before you cool off. I'm glad I was brought up like that. You know what? We had a way of maintaining the fire. You had to carefully maintain the fire. And I tell you, there's been many a time I saw my old mother, I'd get an old pan full of coals and put ashes around it and put a lid over the top of it. And when she got up in the morning, the only thing she had to do was pour that pan out, pour the lid off, and fan it just a little bit. I think you know what that's a type of. I tell you, if our fire is not maintained by the breath of the Holy Ghost, it'll go out on us every time. We've got a lot of folks that their fires are going out because they're not maintaining it. They're throwing a little bit of the world upon the fire, and they're throwing a little bit of the flesh upon it, and they're throwing a little bit of human ingenuity upon it, and they're throwing a little bit of their own personality upon it. But I'm going to tell you something, you'll never maintain the fire that way. They'll take the breath of God. How did he keep that fire burning for 3 days? Yeah, he went 3 days' journey. The Bible said he went 3 days' journey. And he said, "You boys stay down here." And me and Isaac going up yonder to worship. And Isaac headed up there and said, "Dad, you got the fire, and you got the wood, and you got the knife. We've got an altar, but where's the lamb?" Our question tonight is, where's the fire?
Right.
You know, you got to carefully maintain the fire.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it'll go out on you. You folks ever seen church members, the fire went out on them?
Oh,
yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You ever see that? I mean, that person used to be on fire for God, and all of a sudden they started laying out on Wednesday night, and then before long there's a mission revival, and then before long they couldn't come to camp meeting, and before long they can't get back for Sunday night, and before long they're missing 2 or 3 Sundays a month. You say, what happened to them, preacher? They're not maintaining the fire that God gave them. It'll go out. You got to carefully maintain it. Oh, I'm glad God sent some old time camp meetings around. Amen. You know what the camp meeting is? It's kind of like this. It's kind of like God doing this. You ever start a fire that way? You ever get out there and get that old fire and kill him? And you get out there and you go. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'll tell you what. We need some folks to get on their knees again. And get the breath of God upon that fire again. To where the coals will start burning again. Out of the glory of God. And I want to tell you something today. Go ahead and put that in there. Operate. I want to tell you something tonight. If we will get on our face before God, seeking the face of God again, and get the breath of God upon our fires again. I'll tell you one thing. We'll see something in our churches. Amen. Have you got any fire? Did any of you bring any? I know fire can get on an awful low and still be rekindled.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much dust.
No.
It doesn't take a big old lump of fire. Hey, you know how these thousands of acres of fire started out here in the West last year. Somebody going down the road puffed a cigarette, threw it out the window. It got out there on some old dry leaves and some sagebrush. Somebody came back by truck and that wind got upon those ashes and began to stir. And before long, there was a flame started. And before long, 1,000 acres were burnt. And before long, 30,000 acres were burnt out. It don't take much to start a fire. Amen. Just a little old bitty puff of wind on it. We're afraid tonight of the breath of God. Let's be honest now. We don't preach salvation through the Holy Ghost anymore. And are you listening to me? We got this thing so planned out. We can lead people to God without the Holy Spirit. I remember the days when I was growing up, people used to get broken about their sin. And why'd they get broken? Because the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. But I tell you, after we get through them, we smile them through it and smile them out of it. I will tell you, I believe godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. You say, what is godly sorrow? It's sorrow that's wrought by God. Godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. And you know what? We don't have the Holy Ghost preached in salvation no more. We don't have Holy Ghost preached in service no more. You see, we think we can get up and preach and teach and do the work of God in the end of the flesh. And because we read a book Saturday night before we come in, I'm going to tell you that will not work with God. There's no fire in our sanctification anymore. That's the reason you can't preach on anything. Got people getting mad.
You're right.
Anybody ever have folks drop out of church and you don't even know what they dropped out for? And you go by and visit, say, hey, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. You big liar, there was something wrong. I hear them say, well, ain't nothing wrong. They're lying out of the teeth. There's something going astray in the life. There's something going wrong in the field. Amen. There's something going wrong where the Lord Jesus is living. And I tell you, we try to shrug it off and say, it's nothing to it. I'll tell you what's wrong. We don't have any fuel and fire that's fueling our separation under God. You know, some people think, well, I just have to get separated under God. If you get separated under God, you will get separated from the world. There's no such thing as one-sided separation. God said, I'll bring you out of Egypt, but I'll also bring you into the promised land. The God that brings you out will bring you in. Amen. Did anybody bring any fire tonight? Oh, we don't need an altar. We've got one. We don't need another sacrifice. We've got one. We don't need another knife. We got one. We don't need any more wood. We got enough. We just need some fire with the Holy Ghost of God breathing it upon us. That's the only way you maintain a fire. You can't maintain a fire any other way than by the breath of the Holy Ghost. Resolutions won't do it. New leaves won't do it. You know, doing better. You know, instead of preaching repentance anymore, we're preaching do better.
You're right.
We ain't supposed to do better. We're supposed to turn from sin to God.
Yes.
Amen. God nowhere ever said do better. He said repent.
Yes.
Let me say something tonight. We need the breath of God to help our fires to get the flame on again. And the only way we'll ever maintain that fire is for the breath of God to come upon
us.
Did anybody bring the fire? Amen. This fire, the second thing I noticed was carried with them everywhere. All 3 days it went up there with them. There was never a day that they left it behind. Amen. That was never a journey that they went without it. They carried it with them. You say, how is that possible? Well, I don't know, but he died up there. When he got up yonder in the mountain, he had the fire still burning. It had been carefully maintained. You see, he carried it all the way up yonder with him. I bless your heart. There's a lot of people think that the fire is only for a short period of our journey, but God wants you to carry the fire of God until you check out of this world and present with God, which is far better. I'm glad for that fire of God. And you don't know, mine, Brother Melvin helped me preach the funeral here August the 13th. She was still carrying it the day she left. Hey, amen. She'd been carrying it for over 47 years, and it never had gone out on her. She'd get around the preacher like Brother Sissel over there, and he'd get the fire stirred up again. Hear me what I'm talking about?
Yes.
She'd get around old time preaching and it'd get stirred up again.
Right.
She'd stick when she couldn't go to church, she'd stick a tape of old gospel music on there and the fire just flame up again. She'd have somebody pray for him and the fire just flame up again. She'd have somebody brag on Jesus and it just flame up again. I want to tell you, it's enough fire to go with you the entire journey of your life. And God has enough wood to keep the fire burning until you get home. You just got to carry it. Hey, man. Now, some of you think it's a burning you. It don't burn you. It's just purifying you. This fire won't harm you. You know what? You can stick yourself. I got to thinking, have you ever thought of this? Over in the book of Zechariah, I wrote this down. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse number 2. He said Israel was a brand plucked out of the fire. Isn't that amazing? He said that Israel was a brand plucked out of the fire. In other words, it's like an old stick that God reached down one time. The fire was burning. You've seen this. And he plucked this stick out of the fire. But you know, I got to thinking, the book of Jeremiah, the brand out of the fire, that God plucked the brand out of the fire, and then he put a fire inside the brand. And then in 1 Timothy, Peter, he puts the brand back in the fire. Isn't that something? We're in a fire from the day we live to the day we die.
Yeah.
Anybody got that fire burning tonight?
Yeah.
How many of you carry it with you down here? Amen. Hey, some of you may be getting it refilled tonight.
Yes,
isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
I remember when I started carrying it. Y'all remember when you started carrying the fire? I got saved, fell a preacher hell so hot that I could almost feel the flames lapping up at me. And I got under such conviction that night, I went home, tossed and turned, and couldn't go to sleep. Next night I came back and got saved. Amen. And God built a fire.
Yes.
He placed it inside of me. I've carried it since 1957. It's got me through many a cold night.
Yeah, yes.
Amen. It's warmed me. It was warmed me when I didn't have many other fires around me.
Yes.
It has warmed me when some of those that had a fire around me picked up and moved their fire to another place. It kept me going. You know what I'm talking about? Because I was carrying it with me. And it was being carefully maintained by the Holy Ghost of God. I tell you what, it'll keep you warm when no one stands with you. This fire will be there when no one understands what you're preaching about. It'll be there burning inside of you when everybody wants to vote you out of the church. It'll keep you going when nobody knows what you preach. It'll keep you going when the best ones that you thought were standing for God fall by the wayside. This fire will keep you going, because you see, you not only carry this fire, but it carries you. This old fire's carried me many a time. Hey, have you all ever gotten a meeting like this and God just give you exactly what you needed? Hey, amen. Man, I've gotten revivals. I've gotten in camp meeting. I never will forget. What was that, brother? Lawrence, about 3 or 4 years ago, old brother Bob Ferguson got to preaching on those sorrows and valleys. And,
yes,
and I tell you, Bob hadn't preached 10 words and he already had my heart tore all pieces.
Yeah.
He just got up there and said something, and I could tell by the countenance on his face that it was something serious.
Yeah.
And I sat right back there, me and my wife.
Yeah.
And I tell you, all of a sudden, God came inside and got that old poker out, and he started stirring my fire up again.
Yeah.
Amen. And I tell you, old Bob preached a while longer, and God stirred it up some more. And he preached a while longer, and you remember that message all that we're hearing. And all of a sudden, God got the old poker out and got mine stirred up real good, and then blew upon it.
Yes.
And before I knew it, I was right over there on that old altar that night, me and my wife. And that night I carried the fire here. It was a little bit weak. But that night God rekindled that fire, and the fire carried me for the rest of the year. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Did anybody bring the fire? That fire, you carry it and it'll carry you. That fire will keep you going when nothing else will. When you want to quit, the fire will carry you. Somebody asked me, have you ever thought about quitting? And I raked my head on that. And the best way I can answer that is this way: not for very long.
Yeah, you're right.
I believe that was the best answer I could give. Not for very long. For a fleeting moment. You understand? For a fleeting moment, I thought about quitting. I thought about, well, let's just throw up our hands and let's just give it up. And all of a sudden, the fire came in and carried me. You say, the fire wouldn't let go of me. The fire just burned inside of me. The fire just kind of rekindled inside. And before I knew it, I got out of quitting mood and got back into the going on mood. You see, and that fire, when sometimes you carry it, and boy, it burns inside of you, and you feel the wonderful presence and power of God, and you go through a valley or something, that fire will carry you. I'm glad for the fire of God. Did anybody bring the fire tonight? Let me say something about how this fire was created. I believe every child of God, your fire is a direct result of the work of God in your heart. You can't get this thing started. Anybody up here, Brother Lawrence, I know you, I believe you have, or maybe others. Any of you here ever tried to start a church? Isn't that the hardest thing in the world to do? I've had these preachers come around, and I had one boy tell me, he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to go down here to this county in Kentucky, and said, you know, I've learned how to do it, he said. He came in one of them preachers' meeting, and boy, he was a strutting high and mighty. He said, I learned how to do it up there, he said. And so, man, he had everybody in the state of Kentucky enthused. We were pouring money into it. And he went out there and knocked 1,000 doors, he said, and showed up Sunday morning, and the one the soul came, except him and his family.
Uh-huh.
Amen. He stayed about 6 months and was averaging 4.
Yeah.
And so before we knew it, he packed up and moved out, and we don't know where he went to. Never heard hide and hair of him.
He is gone.
You see, he was starting his own little fire there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, don't work that way. You better forget about these flashy things that makes it appear that the work of God is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I tell you, if you ever do the work of God, you're going to go through some of the most disappointing times you'll ever face in your life. You'll have some of the most heart-aching things happen to you. You'll have ups and downs that you never thought of. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And if you don't have a fire of God inside of you, I tell you, it won't be long down the road that you'll say, man, I ain't had nothing go right. And I tell you what, tonight, if it's not for the fire of God inside of us, there wouldn't be any of us in here be able to do anything for God. We couldn't preach a lick. We'd be nothing more than a wild entertainer. You singers would be nothing more than worldly musicians. Our churches would be no more than buildings to showcase the flesh in. But I tell you, get in a place like this, and you let God walk through the doors and begin to move upon hearts and souls and save those sinners and reclaim backsliders and call young boys to preach and educate young Christians to serve God. I tell you what, and you feel the warmth of God's fire in your bosom. I tell you, when nothing else works, that fire will keep you going for God. But God has to start it. You can't start your own little fire.
No.
It'll burn out. I've seen it burn out before. It'll burn out. I thought there's two or three old coals of fire that kind of helps us maintain our fire. The first one is that Word of God.
Amen.
We need to throw a big old chunk of the Word of God on. Amen. Hide it in your heart. Because somewhere down the line, the only thing keep you going is the promise of God.
Amen.
I'd have believed I was lost the night after I got saved if it hadn't been for the Word of God.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I'd have believed I was lost the night after I got saved. Because the night after I got saved, the devil comes along and says, boy, what a fool you were last night. Who do you think will believe you got saved? And the only thing I could do was open my Bible to Romans chapter number 10 and pull out a big old chunk of live coals from there. Amen. And I'd say, my goodness, I'm so glad. Thank God that it's still the same today as it was. It'll keep you going. Oh, it'll keep you going. I'll tell you something else you can get a chunk of. Get a chunk of that Holy Ghost that's mentioned there in Acts chapter number 2. Amen. The Holy Ghost came upon them. And you're going down through the road yonder and that old Word of God is inside of you. And all of a sudden, you're just kind of fellowshipping with the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost comes down and he begins to bear witness with your spirit that you are the sons of God. And he'll begin to tell you that you're an heir of God, joint heir of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, that chunk of the Holy Ghost put with a chunk of the Word of God, it'll cause that old fire to flame inside of you. And then I tell you another chunk to add to it. Throw a little trial on there. Ain't nobody here worth nothing until you've been tried.
Right.
I'm honest with you.
You're right.
Ain't nobody worth nothing until you've been tried.
Right.
I wouldn't give you a nickel for no Christian until they've been tried.
You're right.
Until you're able to overcome a few trials.
Right.
Oh, it'd be more much precious than gold, won't it? Yes. I'll tell you, the first thing I believe God, in fact, our text there, Abraham is a father of the faithful, it said, and God tempted him. That means not with evil, but he tested him and tried him. And I'll tell you, Abraham, he got going there and he had some of the wood and he had some of the fire and he had the knife. He had it all, and I tell you what he did. He faced that trial, and I believe it was the most awesome and horrendous thing that he ever faced in his life. And he had to make the choice, am I willing to give my all to Jesus? He had to face that question. And I believe he stood there before Isaac. And I believe Abraham looked at Isaac with tears in his eyes as he started to bind his hands. That was his trial. And he got that boy and bound his hands and feet and laid him over here on the altar. And Betty got the knife. I want to tell you, he passed the test.
Yes.
He passed the test. How you get you a chunk of the Word of God and get you a chunk of the Holy Ghost and let them two work in your life and throw a big old chunk of trials on there. And when you get through that trial, I'll tell you what happened to you. Your fire will be burning brighter.
Yes.
Amen. Your fire will be burning more fervent. Your fire will put off more of a glow and a warmth and a heat and a substance that will bring glory to God.
Yes.
But I tell you what, friend, we need to throw some chunks on there tonight.
Amen.
Bless your heart. Most of us, our fires have gotten down so low. The world and the flesh and the devil. I'll tell you something that'll cause your fire to flicker faster than anything. Is get wrapped up in church work.
Right.
And y'all looking at me, some of y'all looking at me kind of odd there. I'll tell you what, we get busy on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and before we know it, our whole world is church world rather than in the Holy Ghost and in Christ Jesus. And before we do it, we pass off doing the outward things of Christianity as the fire. That's not the fire. I tell you, the fire is the Lord Jesus burning in your heart. That's all it is. It's not you going to church. Amen. It's not you reading so many chapters of the Bible. I believe you ought to read the Bible, but if the Bible doesn't get inside of you, it don't matter how many chapters you read. It's not our beautiful prayers. If a heart is not broken in our prayers, it's not praying at all. We need the fire of God inside of us. And I tell you, if the fire of God is inside of them, the least little token of God coming to you and blessing you will just get you all stirred up a bit. It don't take too much to get some folks stirred up. And then it's some people, all the preachers in the world can stir them up. You say, because the fire's burnt down. Did you bring any fire tonight? We've got the lamb. We've got the altar. We've got the wood. We've got the knife. We got it all. All we need is some fire. Amen.
That's good, brother.
Oh, my, tell you. What happened to all of us if that fire of God get to burning real bright again?
Uh-huh.
You talk about us leaving here and going out yonder and charging hell with a squirt gun. I'll tell you what, the fire of God do something that nothing else in the world do for
us.
You know you can't keep people faithful to God if they don't have fire in them. You know that. I know that. Most of us preachers spend 90% of our time running after church members. Am I not telling the truth in that? Run after church members. We'll be out there running after sinners.
Yeah.
And why do we have to run after church members? Because the fire's not burning good. They don't have enough to motivate them and fuel them, fire them. Amen. All we need is some folks to get around an old altar and maybe just tonight reach out and get another lump of the Word of God. Maybe that'll be all it take tonight. Maybe somebody tonight, you've been in the Word of God, and boy, you've been studying, but all you need is a hunk of the Holy Spirit thrown on there again. Good old chunk of that.
Yes.
Amen. Tonight, I don't care what you have to do to get that fire burning again. You be willing to come to God and get it done tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh,
amen. Just bring it to God tonight. I want us to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord Jesus, as we bow tonight,